The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as your wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I had dinner the other night with some friends at Senior Poncho's, and if you haven't been to Senior Poncho's, it's perhaps one of the most crowded, busiest places to eat in our town, our general area, right? Now, typically when I've gone there, I'm lucky if there is an empty table, and it's a physically confining space with minimal walking room in between all of the tables. And then we still have these large group of tourists coming in, and the fishing traffic, and it just is extra chaos in the restaurants. So when my friend said he wanted to have his birthday with about 10 of us at Senior Poncho's, I thought, "Ugh, this is a lot of love for you, buddy." Now, I feel a little claustrophobic when I go there, but the food is delicious, and it's where he wanted to celebrate his birthday party. And he and his girlfriend and several other friends joined together to celebrate him along with his two kids. Now, many of you know that I love being Auntie Mare Mare, right? I've got my godson in Chicago. I've got my nephews. Like, I love little people. I love loving on them as Auntie Mare Mare. So when I'm out with friends' kids, I also make a point to kind of play with the kids, right? Ask them how their day is, maybe help them out if they need some help eating, whatever it is. I try to interact with the kids as much as I do the adults. And at Senior Poncho's, you get your own fountain drinks and your own salsa. You have to get up and go get it. And where we were seated, the salsa and beverages were on the opposite end of the restaurant. And so my friend, the birthday boy, said he wanted some water. I was getting water, so I got up to go get a glass of water for myself and a glass of water for him. And as I started navigating my way through the restaurant towards the fountain machine, I looked back and realized his little boy was following me. But I saw that he began weaving in and out of the crowds, right? Now, this is a crowded place. He ran past me, even got to the side where only the servers walk, and he was kind of weaving in and out of people and chairs and of all the chaos. He got to the fountain and was filling up his cup even before I got there. Now, if you have little people in your life, this sounds like the most chaotic thing ever, right? You're like, "I just try to keep them contained." It stresses you out if you feel like your kids are embarrassing you in a public place. If you're a server or you work in a restaurant, this probably stresses you out because one poorly timed sizzling fajita plate and it all is going to fall apart, right? Now, if you're playing auntie to your friend's kids, you are also stressed out because you're not sure what his parents would allow, if someone is going to be annoyed at you because your kid's not under control, or if you're going to have to handle a fajita plate gone wrong. But alas, he was able to safely maneuver to the water fountain, fill his cup with a little help, and make it back to bring his dad water. He was unscathed, both physically and mentally, from the encounter. Meanwhile, I was wondering, who just saw me let a child run through the restaurant like that? Who just rolled their eyes at him and are looking at me like I did not parent well? Who just had to step out of the way to dodge this little kid, you know, zigging and zagging? And this little guy was back at the table playing with his straw, watching the TV, talking about school like nothing had happened. He was clueless about the risks that he had just narrowly avoided. He had no idea how easily that cup could have flown out of his hand or something spilled on his head or how he could have bumped into somebody else. And as an adult in the world, I often find that I get overwhelmed by all the ways in which I could inconvenience someone else. I think about the ways in which I take up space and I would get on somebody else's nerves. Whereas children don't have these thoughts. They are seemingly oblivious about taking up too much space or inconveniencing someone else, which at times would be helpful if they maybe paid a little more attention, right? If they had a little more awareness, but that comes with age. But as I watch this little guy physically maneuver through this world of Senior Ponchos, weaving in and out with the sole mission of bringing his dad a cup of water, it made me think about how we advocate for ourselves and others in our lives. Too often, I catch myself with these unspoken rules of how I should handle myself. That if I'm quiet enough, or I don't bother anybody, if I take up the least amount of space in a crowded restaurant, then nobody will be annoyed with me. If I just stay out of the way, then I won't be hated. We learn these rules from parents and teachers, from families, from pastors, from aunties and uncles, and whoever we spend our time with. But watching this little guy bob and weave through the crowd reminded me of the Canaanite woman that we hear in Matthew's gospel today. Even though we don't get her name, we're handed a whole lot of information about her just in the description. First, she's a woman. This woman had approached Jesus to speak to him, a stranger, when he's trying to take a day off from healing, right? And she's a woman approaching a strange man without her husband or her brother or some other male figure in her life. The audacity. But for real, this actually would have been quite scandalous for this time. And she's a Gentile, so she's a non-Jew. She's someone who doesn't have the same faith as Jesus, and she's approaching him to heal her daughter. And then she's Canaanite, or Syrophoenician, if you've heard a different gospel take on this, which is historically an enemy of Israel, which is the Roman province of Syria. So she's a woman, she approaches a strange man without a chaperone, she's a Gentile, and she's Syrophoenician Canaanite. She is about as offensive as she can get simply by her existence in the world. She is the most outsider of all outsiders when it comes to Jesus' ministry. And we don't give it a name, but we know that she's an outsider. And she asks Jesus to heal her daughter. She begs this man, the stranger, who is as different could be, and she asks him for this healing. She's begging him to make her daughter well again, just like he's been doing across the Galilee. She wants this strange divine human to make her daughter better and give her life back. And instead, Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to throw the children's food to the dogs." Jesus is telling her, in no uncertain terms, that she is not welcome. She does not belong, and she's not playing by the rules. If she was at Senior Ponchos, Jesus would have told her to get back to her booth and stay out of the way and knock it off. And that, it would have been her fault if anybody dropped a sizzling hot fajita plate. Now, this is perhaps a little creative interpretation of how Jesus' words could be translated today for our modern times, but this is the essence of what he's saying to her, that the outsider isn't playing by the rules of what the insiders have determined. And she's not playing by the rules of gender, of race, of class, of general social etiquette. And she fires back, disregarding all of these social rules, and she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Right? This is sassy. This is pushing back. Even the dogs get the crumbs, right? She just zigged and zagged and called Jesus out on what exclusionary rules he was living by, going around and healing people of Galilee, but only certain people, because he felt like he was only called to the lost sheep of Israel, right? So she calls him out on it. He was doing ministry, he was doing healing, bringing them back from the literal dead, and yet he said to this woman, "You are not part of the club, so I will not do this." To which she said, "Yeah, well, I demand the crumbs of the club. I demand to be a part of this thing that you're preaching and teaching about. I demand to have a place in the healing love of God's kingdom that you have said exists in abundance. And yet here you are telling me that I am unworthy of it. I demand the crumbs." This woman, this nameless woman, has claimed her place, not at the table, but on the floor, among the crumbs, among the dogs, among the children weaving and bobbing out of baskets of tortillas and cups of water. She claims her place as who she is, a woman that was an outsider by all identities, and calls Jesus out on what he was claiming to teach and what he was practicing. And Jesus responds how? What does he do? He changes his mind, right? He changed his mind. He stopped in his tracks, held accountable for what he was saying, what he had said, and he changed his mind. He realized that the message that he was sending was incongruent with what he was willing to do in the world. He realized that who he was as Jesus Christ, this savior of the world, this one called to be the embodiment of God's love, was bigger and stronger and bolder than any lines that separated race, gender, marital status, or any other identifier. And he responded to her by hearing her cries of injustice, her claim of worthiness, and brought healing to her and her daughter. I am envious of kids who can move without worrying how they're going to inconvenience people. But I am in awe of this woman who held Jesus accountable, who called out the divine and claimed her space as a person worthy of healing and wholeness. Now, when we hear readings each week during our service, I read a story of a selection from one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I end the reading with, "This is the good news. This is the gospel of our Lord." Now, reading this one today may not feel like good news at first or at first listen, right? Because the woman was calling out Jesus, and that makes us a little icky. But the good news is that we can call out our God, that we can call out the divine, because we are claiming our worth and the worth of the ones we love in spite of social etiquette. And Jesus says, "Woman, great is your faith. Thank you. You have taught me something new today, and I appreciate you." Now, perhaps the good news isn't always about the magical things that Jesus has done, but the courage to claim our own worthiness, our own identities, our own space as beings that belong, not just in crowded Mexican restaurants in Soldotna, but in the community of God here and now. The good news is that we can complain to our God, to Jesus Christ himself, to ask the hard questions of where do we fit in the world, why are we here, and how much longer should I have to deal with this, God? And God's answer is yes, here, now, you belong with me. This woman's interaction with Jesus shows us that we don't have to be sweet and demure to get God's attention, but we can be wild and chaotic, covered in salsa and queso, and say, "God, where are you?" And in this, God's answer has, is, and will continue to be here with you. You are with me. Thanks be to God. Amen.